Welcome to Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford. A Genius for Place, American Landscapes of the Country Place Era. That's the current exhibit going on at Rinalda House Museum of American Art, where it'll remain through August 5th. American landscape design was shaped early on in the 19th century by Jackson Downing and Frederick Law Olmsted. Olmsted's last great project was a laying out of George Vanderbilt's 120,000-acre Biltmore Estate near Asheville. A Genius for Place is also the title of a new book by Library of American Landscape History Director Robin Carson. On Tuesday, May 15th at 5:30, she'll present an illustrated talk about several artistically expressive landscapes from this period, a period in which Rinalda House itself sits as a prime example. A Genius for Place, American Landscapes of the Country Place Era, published by University of Massachusetts Press, will be available for purchase and book signing by the author, and you'll find links to more information at wfdd.org/triadarts. In the meantime, here's a conversation I had with Robin last week. She spoke with me by phone from her office in Amherst, Massachusetts.
A lot of people have a connection to this art form, but many people think of it largely in terms of plants. In fact, on the broader scale, it also involves roads. It can involve changing the course of rivers. It can involve buildings, sculpture, and planting of trees, realignment of paths. Landscape architects pay attention to all kinds of forces in nature, not just plants, such as the trajectory of the sun, the play of shadows across a lawn, even the sound of a brook in a park.
Hearing you talk about that, Robin, just puts me in the mindset of like a really fine waiter, and that you know if they're doing their job correctly, you're really enjoying yourself or feeling something, and yet you're just not aware they're there. You're in a place and time in a location, and if it's landscaped well or designed well, it really does enrich your experience.
I think that's absolutely true, and a great example of that, and one that many people know, is Central Park, which has become a mecca for people all over the world because the experience of being in that place is so enriching. And in fact, most people, without thinking about it, assume that what was there? It's the part of the city that didn't get built up. They don't realize what a work of artifice it is, how Olmsted carried in or had carried in tons and tons of rock to build those outcroppings in the Ramble. He drained the swamps, dug lakes, created a very imaginative road system in order to sink the transit roads that run from one side of the city to the other down below grade so you wouldn't be aware of the traffic sounds. Many, many innovations like that, and much of the landscape architecture in this country, and this is one of the themes in my book and in the exhibition at Rinalda House, much of the landscape architecture of this country derives its force and its spirit from Olmsted's ideas.
You're talking about Frederick Law Olmsted, and I'm wondering if you could put him in perspective. I'm struck by the appreciation then versus now for this sort of art and thinking that Frederick Law Olmsted was really a rock star of sorts in his day. Could you put him in perspective? I mean, he was a giant.
He was a giant, and it would take several radio programs to do him justice. His contribution to the new art of landscape architecture, and he was the first person to identify himself that way, is enormous. He really did found the modern profession by establishing a very important office. It changed over years. It had different partners, including his son and his stepson. He ran it by diversifying the work within the office, by hiring specialists in different aspects of the art to coordinate and execute those aspects, from planting, for example, to engineering, but all combined to create a singular vision. His other great philosophical contribution was to teach others to pay attention to the spirit of the place, to to respond to the cues that were there. Some of those are tangible, like a lake or a marsh or a beautiful view, and some of them are intangible. It's just a sense, a spirit, but to let that spirit guide the design so that it's not warring with the underlying sense of place that gives each place its distinction and its charm.
I can't remember the title of the book. Was it The Devil in the White City? That was
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That book on so many levels gripped me, but much of it was the description of, well, first off, the undertaking of converting that Chicago lakeshore area into this beautiful city, but also that impact. And that really did go on to influence a whole generation of the wealthy, the elite in this country in terms of their approach to developing landscapes. Did that spill into then your recent look at a country place era? Could you trace that for us?
There is a connection. The World's Columbian Exposition of 1893 was a turning point in American consciousness. This country saw itself for the first time as really playing on a world stage, economically, culturally, and artistically. 22 million people visited Chicago over the course of those 2 years, and they came away with a sense of what was possible. And those ideas transformed cities across the nation, new cities, young cities, and even old cities. It also transformed the sense of what could be done on a private estate. And, of course, that was a time of enormous wealth, especially before 1913, when income tax was implemented. People saw great potential in these pieces of property they were buying, mainly outside city hubs. And they saw that there was a new profession training people to create the same kind of magic that they saw in Chicago. Some of this magic derived from combining many different cultural influences, almost like a around the world in 80 days kind of feeling, you know, a bit of England here and France there and a touch of the East. And of course, people were traveling more to bring home memories from these wonderful grand tours they were taking, real citations from gardens. And sometimes adaptations of things they'd seen abroad, literally in their own backyards.
My thanks to Library of American Landscape History director and author Robin Carson. Her new book is titled A Genius for Place, American Landscapes of the Country Place Era, published by University of Massachusetts Press. Coming up May 15th at 5:30, Robin will be speaking about her work at a remarkable landscape of the country era that may just be familiar to you, Rinalda House Museum of American Art. She'll present other fine examples of original, expressive landscapes from that period, and there'll be a Q&A, book signings, and more. In the meantime, you can hear my complete interview with Robin Carson on our website, wfdd.org/triadarts, where you'll also find ticket information and more. I'm David Ford. Thanks for joining me today for Triad Arts Up Close.